Driving around Wisconsin, you might find unexpected little pieces of architecture, grottos.
Grottos are small cave-like structures, often made with concrete and decorated with everyday items like marbles and seashells.
German Catholics brought the tradition with them to Wisconsin in the early 1900s. At the time, they were often used as shrines.
Now, artists are putting their own spin on grottos. Later, we'll meet two Eau Claire musicians who created a new album inspired by a grotto in Milwaukee.
First, an exhibit at the Kohler Art Center highlights this unique piece of Wisconsin culture. Laura Bickford is associate curator at the John Michael Kohler Art Center in Sheboygan, where she oversees exhibits, including A Beautiful Experience, the Midwest Grotto Tradition, on display through May 10th. Laura, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For people who haven't seen some of Wisconsin's grottos, can you paint us a picture? What are they? What do they look like?
Yeah, most of them are really impressive, I have to say. Usually made of concrete and then pretty heavily adorned with a variety of objects. Typically in Wisconsin, they're more man-made objects, glass, broken dishware, tchotchkes. In the case of the Dickeyville Grotto, there's hundreds of gear shift knobs that was donated by the Ford company. And when you get out into Iowa, some of them are more heavily adorned with gemstones and natural minerals. They often have various shrines encompassing in them, dedicated to different religious figures, and sort of various sites for people to have reflective prayer. Super, super maximalist, really abundant, brightly colored, heavily, heavily adorned.
Why did Wisconsin and some of Iowa become such a rich site for grotto builders?
I think there's a few reasons, really having to do with the history of immigration in the region, specifically German Catholics. And so the grotto tradition actually dates back to paganism in Europe, where kind of sites of natural beauty and isolation, like caves or sort of other inlets, became places of prayer. And people started bringing sort of offerings there to sort of help in their prayer and devotion. Eventually, as a lot of things happened with the spread of Catholicism, these pagan places of worship were turned into Catholic traditional places of worship. And when German Catholics came over to Wisconsin, a few priests brought that tradition with them. And sort of in a joint effort to spread Catholicism and promote patriotism and form communities, they started adapting the form. Not in caves, but kind of creating man-made alcoves to sort of create these grotto sites for community and prayer and reflection.
Laura, I think of grottos as being in the place they were built. That's got to be a challenge to do at the Art Center, an exhibit featuring grottos. How do you recreate that, you know, in that place grotto experience in your exhibit?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main focuses of the exhibition is a grotto that was made by a woman named Madeline Buell. And she was living in Dubuque, Iowa, really heavily inspired by the Dickeyville Grotto, which was just right over the river from her. And the Art Center actually worked to remove that grotto from her yard in the mid-2000s, 2011, after the family sort of had sold the house. And so that kind of monumental 13-piece grotto is in the collection of the Art Center. And although mobile, it's definitely not sort of easily moved. And so it had never been shown before the occasion of this exhibition. And though that really forms the center of this project. And my co-curator and I then sort of populated the exhibition with other elements that could help tell the story, other objects inspired made by artists that were also inspired by grottos kind of throughout the last century, including contemporary work made just for the show. We also included a lot of sort of components of Madeline Buell's grotto that speak to the construction of grottos and the sort of intuition and intentionality that couples them. And we also included a lot of ephemera and tourist material, particularly about the Dickeyville Grotto, which sort of speaks to how these grottos became so well known and visited in Wisconsin and why they sort of continue to resonate today, because they were really designed to attract people and bring people to them in sort of acts of pilgrimage.
And talk a little bit about the Dickeyville Grotto. I think fair to say the most famous grotto in Wisconsin, far southwestern Wisconsin. What is the significance of that site?
Yeah, totally. It is definitely the most famous sort of in Wisconsin and became a pivotal experience for a lot of other artists throughout the state, many of which are in our collection. And the Dickeyville Grotto was built by Father Matthias Wernerus, who attended seminary in Milwaukee and then was assigned to the Holy Ghost Parish in Dickeyville, Wisconsin, and almost immediately started making this grotto. And from the very beginning, it was a tourist destination. We have an article from the dedication of the grotto where hundreds of thousands of people came to Dickeyville. There were celebrities, there was politicians sort of dedicating the grotto. And early on, as I said, that was important because the Catholic Church had sort of said, yeah, you can do this grotto as long as it's not taking away from any of your other duties. And so advertising it as a tourist attraction was a way for the father to continue to fundraise to be able to support the construction of the grotto and not take away from the church. So early on, you know, there were buttons and maps, there were signs all over the highway. You can still see them. And it was really designed to bring people there, which also became important for the German Catholic community as a way of spreading their patriotism, kind of letting people know that they were Americans and proud to be Americans. Part of the Dickeyville Grotto is a shrine to Christopher Columbus. And it's sort of equally rooted in the tenets of patriotism and religion or spirituality. So they wanted to say that despite being German and holding their Catholic sermons in German, they were proud Americans and wanted to create a space where people could connect and they could, you know, sort of share their beliefs and their pride with the rest of the Dickeyville community.
We're talking to Laura Bickford, Associate Curator at the John Michael Kohler Art Center in Sheboygan, talking about grottos and the museum's current exhibit, A Beautiful Experience, the Midwest Grotto Tradition. Now we'll bring into the conversation two Eau Claire musicians, percussionist Joe Westerland and trumpet player Trevor Hagen. The two recently teamed up for an album called Grotto. Joe and Trevor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Joe, if I made a list of albums inspired by grottos, I think it'd be a pretty short list. What inspired the two of you to team up and make this album inspired by the grotto tradition?
Well, in 2025, spring of 2025, I was invited by the Kohler Art Center to come to the Mary Knoll Grotto and do a video project in which I composed a piece in the moment that I was first experiencing her house. And that went really well, and we had a great time. And I was invited back in the winter of 2025 to do another project in the art preserve. And I just immediately thought of my friend Trevor, that we had just started playing together on some of my stuff. And it felt time to turn that collaboration into a duo. So I mentioned it to them and they thought it was a great idea. And the two of us, we booked a 5-date tour throughout Wisconsin, kind of around this anchor date at the Kohler, and recorded at Trevor's family cabin at the end of that.
And Trevor, tell us about your experience visiting the Mary Knoll Grotto in particular in Milwaukee for the first time as I guess part of research for this album.
Absolutely. It was a very surprising visit because I didn't know what kind of I was getting into. I wasn't familiar with Mary Knoll until Joe mentioned some of her work to me. And so when we arrived, I was really stunned by just this environment that she created for herself and how she's able to sustain herself in this very beautiful, striking house that was somewhat playful, just very creative in its patterns and how elaborate it was designed by her for herself. So I think seeing the Knoll House was really seeing someone take their way of expressing themselves, their art, and making it for this one place. And I think that really stuck with us of the importance of place and creation and making art.
Laura, before we get into the music, I want to hear more about the Mary Knoll Grotto that inspired this album and its significance in the Wisconsin art world.
Yeah, so Mary Knoll's home is right on the shore of Lake Michigan. It was her family's summer cottage that after she moved in, she completely transformed. Almost every surface of the interior and exterior was touched by her, in addition to having over 30 concrete sculptures on the property. And as Joe and Trevor said, it's a sort of total personal meditation on the property, on the lake, on her life. She really was omnivorous, using sort of every available material to try out ideas and experiment. The Art Center stewards the site, and it's just one of several examples of adorned concrete artistic environments that populate the state of Wisconsin. Mary Knowles is particularly important and impactful because it's a rare extant example that was made by a woman, and it's almost completely intact, which is also incredibly rare and makes it sort of exceedingly special.
All right, now let's go into how we turn that visual thing into this album, this audio incarnation. Joe, let's start with you there. As I listen to the album, I'm hearing, it's almost like, I'd call them almost soundscapes before I'd say songs in some ways. How did you start translating this weird artistic environment into music?
Yeah, it wasn't so much that we were translating exactly Mary Knowles' environment into our own environment, but more taking inspiration from witnessing hers and knowing that, you know, Trevor and I come from a long background together of like being friends since we were seven, being in bands together, us splitting apart for a while he was living overseas for over a decade, and just doing our various things, having our own experiences with exploring music in sort of unconventional ways. Basically, we kind of came to the conclusion that this kind of sound world that happens when the two of us come together sort of forms a house. These like different soundscapes, as you say, or, you know, some melodies in there, they all kind of added to, they were the decorations, they were the decorative quality of this home that we were building together.
And Trevor, playing the melodic instrument here, the trumpet on many parts of these tracks, how did you take that inspiration from the Mary Knowles house and put it to music?
I think partly what's really wonderful playing music with Joe, and as Joe's mentioned, we have a long background together, is, you know, we're really honest with each other and honest with our playing, and I think very sincere about it when we play together. And I think that was the feeling we got from Mary's work as well, and for how she put these, you know, how she decorated her house and how she engaged with even the art world, other entities outside of her art environment. I think so. Her approach to all of this, to really being not for herself, but like doing things that were aesthetically pleasing to her. I think that's really influenced a lot of how Joe and I have also come to our own sounds, our own approaches. So yeah, the style, she's really been hugely influential in our playing and how we are approaching playing.
Laura, you say you've seen exhibit visitors be inspired by the grottos. What are you hearing and seeing as people come through and learn more about this Wisconsin tradition?
I think a lot of people are surprised that they actually knew about it before the exhibition, or they had some familiarity. A lot of people have some memories of going either to Dickeyville or seeing some sort of adorned concrete creation or Virgin Mary bathtub shrine on the side of the road. And once they're sort of reminded of this vernacular tradition, they can place it in a bunch of other experiences. And I think kind of what Trevor and Joe were talking about this kind of highly specific but somehow then universal sense of wonder and awe that we often feel in these religious spaces really comes across. But they feel incredibly familiar and approachable, and something about them really speaks to the Midwestern, upper Midwestern landscape that I think people are drawn to. And I've heard so many visitors talk about wanting to go home and make their own grotto, finally finding a place for all of their broken dishes, but really feeling a sense of connectedness to the expression and the place that I haven't experienced in a lot of other exhibitions.
So Trevor, I guess the ultimate full circle would be, have you had a chance to take your album and go to the Mary Knowles Grotto and listen to it? And if not, is that something you'd want to do, to just have the full experience?
Absolutely. No, we haven't had the chance to do that yet, but we did. We were playing Milwaukee about a month ago, and we got to go return to the Mary Knowles house and really see it with new eyes. And when we were there, I heard from my uncle that my mother and he used to go and visit the Mary Knowles, or rather bikes by it. So I also had a nice connection to my family being there a long time ago as well. So that's a new story for me.
And how about you, Joe, the opportunity to experience that music there? Is that something you'd like, maybe a live show or some kind of event at the Grotto where it all started?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be epic. We would very much welcome that opportunity.
We'll leave it there. Joe, Trevor, Laura, thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
That was Laura Bickford, Associate Curator at the Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan, and Joe Westerland and Trevor Hagen, two Eau Claire musicians who are out with a new instrumental album called Grotto. The exhibit, called A Beautiful Experience, the Midwest Grotto Tradition, is on display at the Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan through May 10th.